Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Your 1 Hour Inspirational Programming. It's a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm going to be your host and facilitator tonight for the next 60 minutes. We're so glad that you tuned in with us, and we've got a lot to cover tonight. And we're certainly going to do our very best to bring you all that we have outlined this evening. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, is could your attitude have an effect on your Christianity? All right, as our co-hosts are preparing to call in, we're going to actually take an in-depth look at this, you know, and wonder, does your attitude, of course, if you're calling in and you want to speak, you press 1 on your dial. That's the way that we do it. Make certain that you press 1 on your dial. If you're not planning on speaking, and you may have pressed 1, go back and press 1 again to take yourself out of the queue. But certainly, if you're going to speak tonight, then we're going to ask you to press 1 on your dial. Some of you all have already done so, and we're certainly grateful for you. We certainly have that. Let's go ahead and welcome Darren Deedy to tonight's program. Darren Deedy, welcome. It's always a pleasure and honor to have you.
The pleasure is all mine. Hello, everybody, and another good topic. Can't wait. Let's let it rumble.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Darren D., while we were waiting for others to log in, let me just ask you, what do you think? I mean, when we talk about a Christian attitude, I mean, is it any different from just having a human, regular attitude? I mean, do we have to put a word before that, like Christian attitude? Why can't it just be an attitude, or does Christians have attitudes? What are your thoughts?
Well, everybody has an attitude, a personality. I would have to say carrying yourself like a Christian. You know, you let the Lord live through you, and if you say you're a Christian and you're trying to be a Christian, you know, and then you cuss somebody out in the middle of the store or beeping at people and cutting people off. You know, I mean, it's just you need to have peace within. And if you have peace within, it's going to shine out towards you. That's why I've also, it was a couple of weeks ago, it's like, I forget what the topic was, to where God shines through you. I mean, people see that in a Christian. And if you're a true Christian, then you wouldn't be out there cutting people off and being one way with other people and being a jerk, you know, in other cases. You should be in peace at all times.
Okay, interesting. So, I mean, is that humanly possible, though, to be at peace at all times, even though you may consider yourself to be a Christian?
Well, we all get agitated and irritated, but we have to think before we speak or react. So, I think you need to keep that peace within you and think before you speak. You know, because, you know, once it flies out, it's out there, you know, and someone who might have, you know, said, well, she's a real Christian, you know, woman, you know, and then I turn around and tell somebody off, you know, with flying bad words or whatever. You can't carry yourself like that. You know, you just try to be humble and keep it real. And I mean, I like to think of myself as brown sugar. I'm sweet but firm, You know what I mean? I can be firm, and I'm still a Christian. I do have standards and limitations, you know. We all do, but there's just the way you handle people.
I see. Okay, we're going to pause a moment and invite the presence of the Lord into our programming tonight. Father, we pray that you would come into our programming tonight, help us to take more from it than we brought to it, so that we can demonstrate ourselves to reflect, be reflective of you. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, Darren Dede, that is very powerful. That is very powerful. But, again, you know, I'm looking at this here and I'm saying, okay, it's, am I, because I call myself maybe this Christian, am I any different from being just a human being?
No. We're all human. But I like to think that being a Christian, we follow Jesus. He lives within us. And how would Jesus handle somebody? I don't recall him cursing people out in the Bible. And he was all loving and fatherly to everyone. So I think we just need to carry the torch. And that's the whole purpose of following him and loving him and allowing his love to shine through us onto others, to know that he is alive within us.
Okay. All right. Excellent. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and welcome to tonight's programming, Miss Joyce. Miss Joyce, thank you for joining us this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Good evening, Dr. Walker. It's a pleasure to be here, and good evening to all the other co-hosts on the program.
Okay, excellent. So, Ms. Joyce, let me ask you, tonight's topic we're talking about, could your attitude have an effect on your Christianity? Could your attitude have an effect on your Christianity? I mean, it's like, I mean, seriously, I mean, will it have an effect?
Sure. You know, if you are a Christian, like it's already been said, you are supposed to be following Christ-like behavior. And, you know, what would Christ do in certain situations? So, you know, you wouldn't, your attitude would definitely be affected. I mean, how would you be out having attitude and telling people off, and then you're supposed to professing to be a Christian and following Christ. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm, certainly. Okay, certainly. We do understand that. Okay, so here tonight we're talking about your attitude, and we got several scenarios that we're going to be bringing to you all as well, just to see if are we Christian, but Ms. Joyce, let me stay with you for a moment. Just because we're Christian, are we not human?
Of course we're human. We all sin. You know, we have a sin nature. And we are going to have an attitude at some times probably with certain things going on in our lives. I mean, it's human nature that we do. But when, you know, we are supposed to remember that, you know, when if you are practicing Christian, that, you know, you follow those examples that you have been taught through the Bible lessons and, you know, what you've learned in church and things like that. So, I mean, sure, we are human and we are going to, you know, fall short at times, but, you know, we have to just remember, try to remember, you know, I mean, people get on your nerves, and that's just normal. That's life. People are going to get on your nerves, and you're going to have a problem. You're going to have an attitude. But, you know, you try to keep things under control. I mean, at least I do. I try to, you know, just kind of say, okay, I'm just going to see, you know, not react to certain things. You kind of pick your battles and just try and treat people the way you want to be treated.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's a good way of putting it. We're going to ask you to stand by. You know, could your attitude have an effect on your Christianity? We're going to take a station break momentarily from Marjorie Croft, and I want to bring her in and ask her along those lines, could it really have an effect? I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? Can you really separate being human and Christian? Darren Deedy, let me bring you in here for that one. Can you really separate being human and being Christian?
No, I don't think so. But, you know, as I was thinking as I was my other definition, even when, you know, of course, they being a Christian, they talk about, you know, trials, how it's teaching you, it's shaping you. You know, things come across your path and you're uncomfortable with it, you dislike it. Again, we're human because we have, you know, feelings and what have you not. But, you know, it's those trials that, you know, kind of make us kind of maybe shine that other side of us that people may not want to see. But then it's also a lesson in process to have him allow you to dive in, be in it, and handle it with grace. You know, you know where I work, self-checkout.
Yeah.
It's like a zoo.
Yes.
And nobody wants to work that area. And you know, I was fairly new on the platform when I met you. And I didn't care for it either because, I mean, you get some really creepy people and it's fast-paced and you're handling four registers at one time and everyone thinks that you need to know everything. But I got to the point to where, you know, they kept assigning me to self-checkout. Do you believe to this day I prefer self-checkout over a regular register because I get bored at the other registers?
Wow.
So, I know. So, and I know it's crazy because I'm like, oh, great, I'm so excited when I get to work self-checkout now because it's like, you know, it's like, watch out, red's on the pad today, you know. So,
okay, could it be that you've lost your patience now for waiting in line, you know, for someone to do something as opposed to being so comfortable with your self-checkout? What is it?
No, I get bored waiting for people to come to a real cashier. Everybody wants to use checkout, self-checkout. And I got so used to that fast pace. And like I said, I'm a very multitasker kind of person. And I like to talk to people and I like to keep it going and being helpful and what have you. But when you're at a regular register, it's just one at a time. And sometimes I have to stand out on the aisles and I'm like waving them down from the self-checkout, like, come see me, come see me.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like everybody thinks it's got to be self-checkout. So, I'm in there now. And my first few times, it was like you're a football referee for 8 hours, you're standing there being a referee in a football game, you know? I mean, because you have to keep an eye on everybody and what they're scanning. And just because they're scanning doesn't mean that they're scanning the right thing. And did they pay? Was their pay complete? You know what I mean? And then you got the other one saying, help needed, help needed. You turn your back and you've got to have, you know, eyes on the back of your head because you got to think theft. And they are, they're stealing. We have, that's lost recovery area right there. It's crazy. So, but I like it because I noticed some people, they look, it's like, red's in the bullpen, and they just decide they're going to go use the regular cash register. It's like, well, I guess we're not going to steal today.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by.
That's my thought. Yes. Thank you.
I certainly hear that. So it also sounds like being a Christian is maybe a label that we choose to take on, and perhaps it's not very much different. First, we're human first. And then we take on another label. Marjorie Croft, thank you for joining us this evening. We want to bring you in here. And do you see a difference between human and being Christian? You know, do you see a difference?
Well, good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening to all your co-hosts and to everyone on this line. Yeah, well, first, as you say, we are human. And then we are Christians. You know, so what we do is we always try to do things that we know is right, you know, because we want to, they say, God, like Christ-like. We want to be like Christ, you know, to follow the things that we know is right. So, but we still have a human component that no matter what we do, we're humans first, you know. Then we are Christians after. But we just try to do the right thing that we know that God would like us to do. You know, that's basically what I
All right.
About
we're going to pause for a moment and go ahead and allow you to take a station break, and then when we come back, we're going to go to Miss Joyce and ask her a pending question, and that is beginning with some of our scenarios here. And the first one, Miss Joyce, we're going to ask you when we come back from the station break is it a Christian-like attitude? Is it reflective when you're having your weekly meals, but yet you don't think about those who are in need? So think about that when we come back. Miss Cross, we're going to go ahead and take a station break with you.
Okay. Good evening again, everyone. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross. I'm a nurse and also a health and wellness consultant with one of the most outstanding companies in the world, Isagenix. We are A-plus on the Better Business Bureau, and we have been around for over 20 years. We have a lot of over 150 products that may be able to help you with any health conditions like collagen and nootropic, different things. So in order to find out more about this, please call me at 786-319-7223. Again, my number is 786-319-7223, or visit the website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. Thank you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, and certainly thank you. Now we're going to go back up here to Ms. Joyce. Ms. Joyce, we're going to bring you back in here, and we're going to ask you that question. I mean, is it reflective of a Christian attitude
to not think of someone that doesn't have a meal? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. I mean, you have your weekly, you know, like people, they go to church and they come home, they have a big dinners or they go out to eat. But to not give thought about those who may not have anything to eat, and you never think about these people. You think about, oh, I heard a good message today. I go now, I'm having my meal, I have friends over, I have family, whatever the situation is. You're enjoying your life. But then you don't even give thought to the people who are in need that don't have a meal. Is that reflective of a Christian attitude?
Well, of course not. And it's not that you don't think of it. Subconsciously, it's there because you see it on TV and advertisements, commercials, and things like that of the suffrage that is going on in, you know, in the world where people don't have enough to sustain them. And, you know, you if the opportunity presents itself when you are, you know, riding down the street and you see someone holding up a sign saying, you know, homeless, hungry, and, you know, you give them a couple of dollars out the window, or, you know, you get some type of literature or something in the mail, you know, for a donation, and, you know, you try to support the cause. I do anyway. You know, I have certain organizations that I do donate to regularly. And so you do think about it. I mean, I don't think that anybody doesn't think about those type of things, but sometimes you just can't, you have no control over certain things, you know, that are going on in the world.
All right. Marjorie Cross, I want to bring you in here and ask you, do we have control over the homeless people, or is it our moral duty to try to help those who may be less fortunate? Is it a moral duty?
Yes, I think so. I think it's our moral duty to help them. Because a lot of times, you know, like a lot of them too are people who was in the service, and some of them were not, but some of them was. And a lot, and they, after they serve their country, they come out in their own mess. So I think not just because they were in the service, whether or not they were in the service, and their homeless, I think it's no moral duty. We should try to help them. If you could give them some clothes, you know, offer them some clothes or money, whatever thing we could do to help them, you know, I think that's our duty. That's for us to help them.
So our duty is to help them, you're saying. All right, so
yes.
If that's the case, then why do we have such large populations of homelessness throughout almost every city or state that I visit? You have a mass influx of homeless people. So
that
reflective of our Christian behavior, you know,
yes.
Are you missing something? Are we falling short?
Yes, we are, because there's a lot of people out there who is more than capable of helping them, and a lot of people just don't, you know, don't help for whatever reason. Because I know that practically every place you go, you see people who are homeless. Because I remember years ago, I went to Marseille. Somebody told me go there, and they had a lot of, like they say, a lot of rich people there. So they had a lot of boats on the water and everything. And I saw people there begging still. So I said, no matter where you go, no matter if the country's rich, you still have people who are there homeless and begging. You know, and you think maybe because you hear the country's rich, you wouldn't see people. But they do exist. But a lot of people don't reach out to help them. They don't even offer help. You know, but I think we can do more. But a lot of people just don't want to do more. That's the way I feel.
All right, we're going to ask you to certainly stand by. You're listening live to your one-hour inspirational program. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic, could your attitude have an effect on your Christianity? We still got a lot to cover, and we're about a quarter of the way, just over a quarter of the way through tonight's programming. Darren Dede, I want to bring you back in here now. Darren Dede, we have another scenario, and that is basically if you are in a position to help someone that who may be, their lights may be threatened to be turned off, and you certainly can give a little something towards that, and you choose not to, is that reflective of a Christian attitude?
No, it's not. But then there's also a flip coin, because some people just continue to live that way, and if they keep asking me for a handout, you're going to have to, you know, you can help them for so long, but sometimes, you know, we can also be taken advantage of, shall I say. But no, I'm always willing to help. If I have something, I give it.
Okay, all right. Okay, excellent. All right, excellent then. All right, so, all right. Ms. Joyce, let me bring you back in for a moment and ask this very thing here. I mean, we have several scenarios into the studio tonight, and, I mean, what is attitude? They say your attitude is your altitude. Help us, some of our listeners here, understand what an attitude is, first and foremost, in your opinion. What is an attitude?
I believe an attitude is the way you carry yourself, the way you present yourself to others. You know, if you walk around grumpy all the time, that's a characteristic of just being a grumpy person. But if you're smiling, you have a great outlook on life, you're positive, you don't down people, then that's a good attitude to me. And, you know, everybody doesn't project the same thing, you know, in their world, in their, for their self, or, you know, the way they feel or the way they their outlook. But that's what I think attitude is.
Okay, so when they're saying that your attitude can determine your altitude, what are they actually saying? If you got the right attitude, it will get you further in life. But I've seen people who have a horrible attitude and have had tremendous success.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could be true. You know, just look at some of our political people. They've got bad attitudes, and look where they are. So, you know, you can have a bad attitude and, you know, still get far in life. That doesn't mean that you're a good person.
Okay. All right. All right. Certainly. Okay. Let's go back to some of these scenarios. Marjorie Cross, I want to bring you back in, and we're taking a look now at another one of these attitudes. And I want to run this one here by several of you all. And, of course, if you want to chime in, you can certainly press one on your dial as well. All right. Ms. Cross, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I could hear you.
All right, this man is the head deacon in the church who attends church weekly. We're talking about he attends church every week. Now, behind the scenes at home, when he gets upset with his wife over the slightest little thing, he ends up cursing her out, and he calls her all sorts of names.
Oh,
is this reflective of a Christian attitude? But he'll go back to church next weekend. It's like, praise the Lord. The Lord is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I mean, but his wife knows differently.
No, I don't think it is reflective of a Christian, because the way you treat a person, respect is very important. And if you disrespect your wife and curse her out and everything, and then you go to church and act so good, it's like putting on a front. You know, and that is not godly, not very godly to do something like that. Because we have to love, he's supposed to love his wife, he's supposed to respect her, and not to talk bad to her and things. You know, because respect is due. You know, if you give respect, you'll get respect. But if you treat me, it's like they say, a soft answer, turn it away wrath. But a grievous one, stir up anger. So if you treat me good, I'm going to treat you back good. But if you curse me, I'll curse you back. So that's the way it is, you know. So you got to be careful what you say to people.
Okay, so did I just hear you correctly that if they curse you, you're going to curse them back, as in tit for tat? So that mean, Ms. Cross, that you're demonstrating an attitude that's reflective of Christian behavior? I'm just asking. When you said earlier, what would Christ do?
But when I say curse them back, I mean like if they not no bad word, you know, like that. Not that's not all I'm talking about. If they say something fresh to me, as you say, what would God say? But sometimes I don't always do it. Depends on the mood I'm in. Because if they say something, if they say something I don't like they say, you know, tell me something I don't like. I'll tell them that, but not cursing bad words or anything, because I don't really, you know, say curse. But if I don't like the thing, if somebody says something I don't like, a mean thing, I'll tell them that, you know.
And then I feel good.
But if I don't tell them back, I won't feel good. But I'm not going to go cursing. I'm not going to go tit for tat and cursing them, though. I'm not going to do that. If they keep
right,
cursing, they're going to be
so
bad in time.
And listen, this is not a judgment call on my part, because I'm probably a lot like that myself. But but I'm just asking. So earlier we were talking about the importance of thinking before we act, thinking before we do things. But the part that I'm trying to show here is, can we separate being human from being a Christian? And, you know, it's been presented on the air tonight that, and of course these thoughts are for people to draw their own conclusions. I say we're human first. And sometimes our reactions, our responses are going to be based on being that human first. So, Ms. Ross, if you got a young person that just so happened saw you and you were in the store and the person gave you a hard time and you said something back to them, and that young person says, well, wow, she's a stewardess and she's a deaconess in the church. I'm surprised. I've never seen her get upset like that. So how do you respond to that?
No, well, I know when to act out, and I know when to control the way I feel. In that case, I probably just ignore them, because now people are crazy. So you got to be careful what you say, you know, to them nowadays. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you put aside all the things you would want to do and say, and maybe say to myself, you know, because it all depends. People are crazy now. They're taking out guns and knives and acting crazy. So you got to be careful what you say. So I don't always pay any attention, though. I don't always respond, because, as I say, a soft answer turn it away around. So the best thing that I like to do, it all depends. If I don't feel like answering, I just don't answer them, you know? And then, but that's the best thing to do sometimes, just to ignore them.
Right, but you know? So the thing is, Ms. Cross, I mean, and this is not a judgment call or anything like that, and we're not trying to call you out, but I'm just asking because I'm sure I get caught up in the situations like that as well. So could it be that you're just saying this now, you kind of changed the way you were thinking because when we brought Christ into it now it's like it makes a difference, you know, because if we're standing out there and somebody gets on our nerves, there's a good likelihood that in our own defense, we're going to defend ourselves to say something bad. But then we might think about it later. Wow. You know, we might think about it later. But I'm going to ask you to stand by just a second. Ms. Joyce, I want to go in here to you. And I'm going to ask you, Ms. Joyce, and to the best of my ability, I'm trying to remember this. Ms. Joyce, you've heard of Nephew Tommy on the Steve Harvey Show. Is that fair to say? Have you?
I have.
Okay, and you've listened to some of his prank calls that he's made to people, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, right. And of course, is it likely to say that you laughed hilariously, perhaps?
I have.
Okay, and see, I have also. And as a matter of fact, I laughed a few months ago so hard on one of his pranks that it had my stomach hurting for about 3 days. You know how you laugh so hard that you can hurt yourself, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so and here's the thing, and I'm getting to a point here. This was the funniest one that I have ever heard. And he called this guy up, and the guy happened to be a deacon in the church. And he was called, and you know how he starts out very nice and everything, and then he gets to the meat of his call. And he said to this deacon in the church, you know, I was just calling you and to pray for you because I know you're getting ready to have pancreatic surgery. And the deacon was all excited and said, thank you for calling. I appreciate that. And I'm paraphrasing here. But he's like, he's so grateful and everything, and God is good and everything. And so he asked the deacon if he could pray for him. And he said, yes, my brother, go ahead and pray for me. So as he started his prayer, started off really good, like a minister would pray or an elder would pray or a deaconess would pray. And so now he gets in the prayer and he says, and Lord, if you would, let it be possible that I can get one of his kidneys while he's on that table. So as he's praying this, the deacon stops him in the midst of his prayer and says, Hold up. No, don't be praying for my kidney. I'm having surgery on my pancreas. Don't pray for my kidney. And he said, and so Nephew Tommy came out and said, well, I figured since you on the table already, I can get one of your kidneys, you know. And the deacon went on to say, there's nothing wrong with my kidneys. And you know how Nephew Tommy just eggs it on. And so before long, the deacon is cursing all over the place. And then, I mean, he's using language. I mean, it's like, whoa, this is interesting. And then when Nephew Tommy came to the conclusion of it, I'm going to say, this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, right? So he says, your daughter set you up. So now my question to you, Ms. Joyce, why couldn't it be that he thought about it before he allowed somebody to push his button, you know, and he's the deacon in the church, the head deacon in the church, and he's that Christian man. So what happens, Ms. Joyce?
His buttons got pushed, and that other side of him came out. That's what happened.
The other side. Okay. Okay, so the other side came out. All right, so are you suggesting that perhaps we all have another side? So we have a human side and a Christian side, Ms. Joyce?
Well, I'm going to say this. He wasn't always a deacon in the church, and I'm sure that he's been, you know, out in the world for a long time and whatever. So some of that reminisced and came back out of him, and that's what happened to him and Nephew Tommy. Nephew Tommy brought out
the So, I mean, it is. I mean, so why couldn't, Ms. George, I want to stay with you for a second. Why couldn't it be that when you know that someone is pushing our buttons, that we do think, why is it that, and I want to stay with that part first, as even a human being, to avoid ourselves allowing our blood pressures to be escalated, why can't we just stop and think and say, who is this person? Let me just hang up the phone. Or walk away like Miss Marjorie Cross did. Why can't we do that?
You know, everybody does not have that kind of control. And, I mean, I have the kind of job that, you know, I am on the phone talking to customers, and sometimes they are very rude and, you know, want to tell me off. And, you know, when they get irate like that, I just kind of pull back and I'll say, excuse me, but I'm going to have to disconnect this call if the conversation continues on this level, you know, to just let them know that I'm not going to tolerate being, you know, talked to in that manner. So, you know, sometimes you just, you know, you have to have some self-restraint yourself and when things are presented to you like that and kind of egg you on. So you know, some people can do that, and some people can't.
I see. Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Wow, that's so interesting. Darren Deedy, let's bring you back in here. Darren Deedy, I mean, this can be some serious, absolutely serious stuff when we allow ourselves to get out of character. I mean, here it is. And that's, you know, I mean, Nephew Tommy has been allowed to push a lot of people's buttons. And, I mean, it is quite hilarious. And, I mean, I like it, you know, a lot for entertainment. And I just wonder sometimes how we allow ourselves to get to that point where somebody pushes our button and you're the one that becomes agitated. So let me ask you this here now. In a situation like that, how can we avoid our attitude to get out of character so that it's not reflective in a negative way of our Christianity? Darren Deedy.
Well, as we were talking about this subject, I couldn't help it. I see in my mind, you know, saints are only sinners who've fallen down and got back up. So we are human. And I think you just need to take a breath and pause for a second. If anything, he should have just hung up on them, you know, and did his cursing in his own privacy of his own home. But, yeah, you remember those days when we used to do prank calls? It's like, you know, is your refrigerator running?
Yeah, I remember that.
it's running. Well, you better go catch it. Yeah. I mean, it's just stupid stuff. But, yeah, we all get upset. And I think being a strong Christian, it allows you to take a breath and try to collect yourself before you say something real rash, you know, to someone. But, yeah, that's my thought.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Cross, I want to bring you in and take on another scenario here. All right, here's the situation. Here's the scenario. The coworker on the job knows that she is dating a married man and has no regrets or ill feelings about it, but she attends church regularly. Ms. Cross, is this really reflective of a Christian attitude?
No, it's not. Because,
I mean, but she's only human. She, you know, it could be where she saw the guy, he appeals to her, he saw her, she appeals to him. We're only human. Perhaps she didn't mean for it to happen. She didn't mean to cheat on her husband. Perhaps he didn't mean to cheat on his wife. But is that okay? They know about the vows. Come on, Ms. Cross. And then are we standing over here looking and somebody in church might see when they see each other, it's like something's going on with these two. Are they judging these people? Are they any better than them?
No, it's hard to separate. But as you say, the human side, you know, the human side is right here, you know, and it's really hard. I mean, and we can't really judge people, although we just know that it's not right in the sight of the Lord where you go and cheat on your spouse. But we know it happens every day, you know. But we know that it shouldn't be like that, but it does happen, you know.
Right.
And we're not the judge to judge them, oh, they shouldn't do that, which we know they shouldn't do it. But the human side of us is saying that. The godly side of us is saying they shouldn't do it. But the human side, temptations and so it's out there, and people do whatever, you know. And you know, although you cannot do it, they still will do it. So,
Ms. Cross, would you say we're any better? Would you say we're any better than them if we're judging them?
If we're judging them, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
are we any better than them if we're judging them?
Yes, we think we're better, you know, because maybe they're doing it, and you probably say I wouldn't do it, but it's not that we're better than them, you know. We just know not to do it. We just know better than them, but not that we're better than them, you know. We're all about saying we shouldn't be saying we are better because we're judging them, because you never know what somebody would do. And, you
right.
know, we just hope that, you know, they don't do it, but people do what they want to do. And
so, Ms. Cross. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, they'll put aside. They, sometimes, you know, they say, okay, the Christian side of me saying don't do it, but the human side of me wants to do it. And temptation is out there, so we just have to try to control ourselves.
Okay, try to control ourselves. That is quite interesting, to control ourselves. So, Ms. Cross, I want to ask you, so if you got a phone call as soon as you got home from church, and Sister, let's call her Sister Gracie,
mm-hmm.
he calls you and she says, child, did you see how they were looking at each other in church? Right there on the altar. And, you know, when they went up for the altar call, she was holding his hand and not even holding her husband's hand. Did you see that? So, Ms. Cross, being a Christian, would you buy into that, Ms. Cross? Or would you, for me, Ms. Cross, I'm going to put myself out there. It's like, okay, tell me what else happened, you know, really. You know, why can't I just not entertain that? Ms. Cross,
right.
could you control yourself to not entertain it? I'm just asking.
Yes, I can. What I would do, I probably would listen a little more, but then I don't get involved. Like, oh, they shouldn't do that. And then I'm very good at changing the subject. So,
okay. But it's not until you heard what you wanted to hear, right?
Exactly. But I'm not going to entertain it like, oh, Lord, I shouldn't do that. You know, I'm not
right.
going to say that. I'm just going
right.
to listen a little and then try to change the subject. Because
all
I don't
right, we're
going to
actually stand by. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in here. So, Darren Deedy, when you now, you're hearing what happened, you get a phone call. I know me, I'm likely to feed into it and say, wow, really? But I'm no better than them. So, Darren Deedy, can you control yourself to say, I don't want to hear this when it's your good friend calling you? Come on, Darren Deedy.
I can, because I find gossip a waste of time. And just because of what that person may see may not be actually what was going on, and she's like feeding her own story into it, you know.
Right.
She may have been consoling that person, you know. I mean, you don't know. And truthfully, it's none of my business. I'm not going to waste my time even, you know, comprehending what she might have saw or what she thinks, because it's irrelevant to me. And,
So are you going to be rude to your friend and tell her, I don't want to hear that? Or are you going to listen to it and let her play it out? Which one?
I listen to her. But I'm not going to feed into it, because that'll be my response. It's like, I really don't care, but if that's on the phone, absolutely. But in person, I would roll my eyes and just shrug my shoulders and say, you know, I really don't care, you know?
Right.
Because I'm not going to feed into it.
Right, but if you wouldn't entertain it, why couldn't you stop her on the phone? Because you don't want to be rude to your friend. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, I would be rude. I would stop her on the phone. I tell her I don't care, you know? I would say
okay. That.
But it would be easier in person because I would just shrug my hands and my shoulders. It's like, I really don't care right then and there. I would let her play out to what she's talking about. And, you know, I would just say it's probably, you know, like I just told you, it's probably not what you think it is. And I really don't care, you know.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Miss Joyce, I want to bring you in here along those same lines. Miss Joyce, I mean, gossip goes around a lot in the church. And can we just be Christian enough to not let our attitudes reflect the gossip? Ms. Joyce, can we really do it? Can we be disciplined to just put a deaf ear on there? Or are we really trying to spare our friends' feelings? Ms. Joyce?
I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute. That goes
okay.
Back to the beginning of the conversation in the program about human nature, and people are human, and people are going to react to certain things. You know, is it right? No, it's not right. I mean, that's not your business. It's not my business what somebody else is doing in their life. And so, but we tend to have our opinions about certain things, and that's human nature.
We do. So you say it's not your business. What if it's a family member of yours or a good lady friend of yours in the church who's having that affair? Is it your business if it's a family member or that good friend of yours? Is it your business then?
If it was a family member or somebody that I was very close to, I might,
yeah.
You know, do something, you know, speak about it. But, again, people are adults and they're grown, and people are going to do what they want to do.
Right. So when we call people in the church, we usually refer to each other as brother and sister. Is that fair to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if that brother and sister is supposed to be, is not only sometimes a term of endearment, but it's like a connection. So, I mean, somewhere, if you see your brother or sister fall, is it not our duties as Christians to try to lift them up? I'm just asking.
It is our duty to try and lift them up if we see them falling.
Okay,
but
so
again,
then, right, so then is it really our business what they do if they're falling and we see that they're falling? Is it our business? Or is it our business only to be selective with it depends on who it is?
I would say if we are close friends with them and we're concerned, that we should say something to them.
Okay. All right. Excellent. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We still got a lot to cover you all, and we have about just over 10 minutes before we bring tonight's show to a closing. Let's go ahead, and this time we're going to welcome our new family member who just joined us for the first time last night, coming all the way from Port St. Lucie, Florida, the lady with a lot of energy, just as many of my co-hosts have tonight, and we're glad she's joining us tonight, Dr. Patty Cox, a.k.a. Dr. Patty Cakes. Dr. Patty Cakes, thanks for joining us. We are certainly appreciative of you being here.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Dr. Patty Cakes, you know, tonight we're talking about could your attitude have an effect on your Christianity? So I want to kind of throw this one at you, one we just covered. And this lady in the church, seeing a married man, and he's married also, and they're seeing each other, unbeknownst to their spouses. But other kind of have an idea that they are seeing each other. So, Dr. Patty, you get this call that from your good friend who knows that there's more going on. Dr. Patty, can you really discipline yourself to not feed into the gossip, or don't you want to hear it, Dr. Patty Case? Don't you want to hear it?
I mean, absolutely, I'd want to hear it. I mean, I've been teased on before. I'm remarried, and okay. I remember finding out the information from other people after we got, after my ex-husband left. I was in shock, like, why, what happened? And then I found out, and I was so thankful, and still to this day, that people told me what was going on. That was huge.
Wow. Okay, so, I mean, you're entertaining the gossip by listening to this person. What does that do for you, for your Christian spirit, to hear this gossip?
Well, I guess, you know, if it's speculation and they're saying there's something more, I mean, gosh, it's really hard because you do feel obligated to say, you know, because cheating is so, you know, I don't want to say widely accepted, but it's just, it's happening more and more in the church, in, you know, people in leadership positions in the church. You hear these types of things, and it's shocking, you know. So at a certain point, I mean, you want to know.
Okay, you want to know. So what does it do for you if you, once you find out? You know, do you, Dr. Patty Cakes right here, I mean, you know, if you want to pass on some of this here, just say pass, and it will already lead us to maybe what you might be thinking, or maybe not. But certainly we're not trying to set you up to incriminate yourself. Of course not. But would you take that same conversation that you heard from your good friend, mm-hmm. and then you got another good friend that is like, girl, let me get off the phone because I got to call her now. Would you do that, Dr. Patty Gates?
What do you mean, get off the phone and then tell the other person?
No, you got to call somebody else now to let them know what you just heard. You know.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, you know, that isn't that, you know, that's the saying, it says go to the throne, not to the phone, right? It's such a temptation because
yeah, but I'm saying,
like,
see, tonight we're talking about your attitude reflects your, have an effect on your Christianity. So the, what I've been trying to do before you came on live with us is show that there, we are human first. Before we take on any label, even as a Christian,
right.
and I'm not trying to justify our behaviors, our actions, or anything, but I'm just merely asking questions that probably fit into human nature. Part of my studies are human science. It's human science and theocentric psychology, which those two fields are disciplines each and of themselves. But I had to attend a certain university to put both of them together. So that human science component comes in first and foremost before anything else comes along. And so within that human component, it's like we're edging because you entertained all of this gossip. Now it's like you're itching because you got another good friend in the church that may have been out of town when something transpired. And how eager are you to get on that phone? From that,
very. You would be. I mean, I would feel very eager with that information because you're kind of like emotionally charged in that moment.
Yes.
So you're just so desperate to, you know, like that's just shocking news that your brain just can't. You have a difficult time processing the information you heard. So when you talk with someone else that you trust and love or that supports you, it's like, yeah, it affects your Christianity. I mean, your Christianity and your attitude or whatever, in a way, because, yes, gossip, so that's a complicated question. Gosh darn. I don't know.
I understand. Trust me, I fully understand. And no, it doesn't make it right.
I'd be talking, I'd hang up, and within 5 seconds, I'd be on the phone with someone else if that was me.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Right, and that's what we want on the show, is that honesty. Dr. Patty Case, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Darren Deedy, I want to come back to you just for a second, then we're going to go back to Ms. Joyce and Ms. Cross. Here's another scenario. Darren Deedy, I got to give you this one here because we're almost out of time, you all. This scenario, here it is. This father constantly belittles his children and his wife, especially when he gets drunk on a weekly basis. He also attends church regularly, and he sings in the choir. Is this reflective of a Christian attitude? Darren Deedy, what do you think? He belittles his wife and his children. Huh?
No. No.
But he's a good singer. He's a good singer, though, Darren Deedy.
No. No, that's not a Christian attitude to have. You're supposed to love your family. That's you know, it's bad enough when you let loose on a stranger in public, but your own family? No. Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're almost out of time, you all. We're going to do a few more scenarios. Ms. Joyce, I want to bring you in here. This other scenario, a mother of four children who has a persistent cough, but she refuses to seek medical attention. She insists that God will heal her with herbs, despite her children's pleads to go to the hospital. Is that reflective of a Christian attitude when she insists her children leave her alone? Leave me alone, you all.
No, that is not a Christian attitude. That's just being stubborn and, you know you're sick. You need to go get some help. And children are trying to help you because they love you and they see that you're sick and you need the help. So, no, that's just being stubborn and mean.
So that's not reflective of a Christian attitude. When she's saying, mm-hmm. I'm going to trust God with these herbs, these concoctions, and I'm not knocking herbs and things like that, you all. I'm just saying she's trusting God with these herbs, but she's got the persistent cough. She wants to go to the doctor. So that's not reflective. What about her faith that she'll be healed?
There's nothing wrong with having faith in God because we all should have faith because he is a healer. He is the ultimate healer. But he also touches man and gives man the ability to help us, in our situation. So she should go get some help and stop being stubborn.
Okay, and just so you all know, all of these scenarios are inspired by true stories. That one, what we just said, the mother of four, was a dear friend of mine who had COVID, and she died. She died.
Yeah.
She died. She would not go to the hospital. She died. That was a dear friend of mine. Despite her children's pleas, she would not go to the hospital. And so, you know, it's like, and what you just said, Ms. Joyce, was really what really counts. God gives man knowledge, and there's nothing wrong with having faith and belief. It's not. But in that case, I just don't think that she had to die. Because she would not go get medical help. All right, we're going to ask you all to stand by. We got still, oh, my goodness, we're almost out of time here. We're almost out of time. I just want to try to cover. Let's do one more of these scenarios, and then we'll wait till next week maybe to finish up some of the rest of them. All right, and let's go to Dr. Pattycakes. Let's go to you with this one here. Dr. Pattycakes, first let's go to Marjorie Cross on this one here. Just quickly here, Marjorie Cross. Two married couples in the church are having affairs with other people in the same church, unbeknownst to their spouses. In fact, the woman's youngest child is from the man in the church whom she is having the affair with. Is this reflective of a Christian attitude? Ms. Cross, what do you say?
No.
The youngest child is that man who she's having an affair with, unbeknownst to her husband, who thinking that that's his child. Ms. Cross, what is happening?
No, that's not a Christian attitude. You know, that is not Christ-like, really. You know, because in the church, too, they should really set example. And if they're doing something like that, I don't know. That's a hard one. You know, but
right.
It's not Christ-like.
Right. So, Dr. Pattycakes, I want to bring you in here, and we're just about out of time. Dr. Pattycakes, along the same note, that woman is your close friend. And she's like, child, I got to tell you a secret. You promise me you won't tell anybody, especially not my husband, okay? Don't even tell my siblings. Don't tell nobody. So, Patty Cake, she tells you, listen, my three-year-old son is not my husband's, okay? It's the man I'm seeing. You know him. So, please, you know, but I had to tell somebody. So, Dr. Patty Cakes, what do? Can you hold that secret?
I'll tell you what I would probably do. What I would definitely tell someone that I was like my husband that I know would, I wouldn't, that's so much to hold in. You know, I know that's like the wrong thing to do, but I mean, to like deliberate over that moral dilemma, because it's such a huge violation of trust in their marriage, and that's their business. But I don't know, I just being brutally honest, I would likely tell my husband just to kind of like have someone to talk to about it, because it's so stressful for them to put that information on you. It truly is to have that burden of knowing that information.
But Dr. Patty Cakes, she asked you in the very beginning, girl, I got to tell you something, and promise me you won't tell anybody. That included your husband. So now you have violated her trust.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if it was, like, really a big deal, I mean, I've never been in that situation, so I can't say for sure, but, I mean, I have held, you know, secrets, if you will, for people that I didn't tell anyone.
Right.
And it is hard to do, and it does cause stress. It does cause a lot of stress to the person holding the secret. You know, just knowing it, even if you know, even if nothing ever happens, just knowing it is stressful. Mm-hmm.
Right. Absolutely. 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 So listen, we're out of time, you all. I want to thank all of you all for participating with us tonight. Those of you all who we were able to get to. Thank you for your thoughts in response to some of the inquiries that we made tonight. Listen, when it comes to, could your attitude have an effect on your Christianity? Yes. And I encourage us all to realize that, yes, we are human first. It may or may not seem like a justification, but then I believe that if we know that we have a temperament of such that we might need help on, and controlling this, even if with our behavior, our conduct, our attitude, or even that which we choose to entertain to come our way. You know, it's almost like lawyers have to do. You know, they got to be careful what they hear, because then they have a legal duty to reveal certain information. So we have to guard our hearts, we have to guard our ears. Because it's like if we know that we can't hold it, then it may harm somebody else. Because just like with Dr. Patty Cakes, if she feels she can't hold it and she reveals it to her husband, then even though he may make a promise, and I'm sure he's not that kind of guy, but he just may, sometimes we accidentally let things out that we didn't intend to. But then because we're human, it happens. And so the key is always walking, talking with God, trusting God, seeking his guidance, his direction. Help me, Father, where I fall short. You know, and I think that becomes the key. You know, we're human. We're human. I get caught up into everything, the stuff that we say. Sometimes it's hard, you know, when somebody, just like Dr. Patty Cake said, when someone is just dumping this on you like that, what are you going to do with this here? You're about to explode. I got to let this out. I got to tell somebody. So the thing is, we have to be careful what we allow these two ears to hear and to entertain. So on that note, we're clearly out of time. I want everybody to just encourage each other. And before it's all over with, just keep a song of melody in our hearts and God on our mind. And we do the best we can as humans, first and foremost. And then we take on that title of being a Christian. And that's a daily walk, and it can also be a daily struggle. Listen, on that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all once again. And listen, join us here tomorrow morning if you want to. We have our International Divine Intervention Day. It starts at 6:30, and it runs until 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Even if you call in at 7 or 7:30, just join the program. We're going to have three prayer warriors, we're going to have singing, and then we're going to have a special message tomorrow that you don't want to miss. We got a very special message tomorrow, and the messages are only about 15 or 20 minutes. And then we're going to also have testimonies. You will want to listen to this information. Tomorrow's topic, I'm looking for it now. It didn't come on the screen. Oh, that's for the 19th. They're giving me one now for tomorrow. Tomorrow's message is going to be, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of them, you have done it unto me. Those are the words of Jesus. Find out what he's talking about tomorrow morning, 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Listen, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show or next Friday for your one-hour inspirational programming. Until tomorrow morning or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker.
Good night, thank you for that great closing,
and good night, everyone. Great show as usual. God bless you all. Keep safe and keep well, everyone. Love you all. Bye.
Thank you. Good night.
You're welcome. Good night. Great closing, Dr. Walker.
Oh, boy.